I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America in VOA Special English. Today we tell about five special people who died during the past year. We start with Johnny Carson. For millions of Americans, Johnny Carson was the last voice they heard before going to sleep at night.
That was the music of the popular late-night television show called The Tonight Show. Johnny Carson became host of the show in 1962. Carson was almost 37 years old when he took over the show, but he had been entertaining people since he was a child. He was born in Corning, Iowa, in 1925. As a young boy, Johnny discovered he was good at telling stories. He also became interested in magic. He performed his first public magic show when he was 14. He called himself the Great Carsoni. Johnny Carson began his career in television in his 20s. He worked at local stations in Nebraska. Several years later, he moved to Los Angeles, California. He was the host on several comedy shows during the 1950s.
But it was The Tonight Show that made Johnny Carson famous for 30 years. He became the most popular star of American television. He was called the King of Late Night. Critics said Americans from all parts of the country liked him and felt they knew him. Carson seemed to be more like the people who watched his show than the actors, singers, and other famous people who appeared on it. He did not take his fame seriously. For example, when asked how he became a star, he answered, "I started in a gaseous state, and I cooled." Carson's special skill was his sense of humor. Audiences laughed at the jokes he made at the beginning of his show. However, sometimes they laughed even harder at the jokes that failed. He was the most powerful performer on television. Many comedians and singers became successful after appearing on The Tonight Show. Johnny Carson retired in 1992. He received many awards during his life. Carson died in January at the age of 79.
The Last of the Mohicans is a famous 19th century historical novel. It ends with the death of the last Native American from the Mohican tribe. Gladys Tantaquijgen, the most honored member of the tribe, let people know that the book was just a story. In fact, her tribe has about 1,700 members. No one did more to protect the traditions and beliefs of the Mohicans than Tantaquijgen. She was born in 1899 in Uncasville, Connecticut. Gladys was educated in traditional Native American ways. The oldest members of the tribe taught the young girl herbal medicine, crafts, and stories about Mohican history. Tantaquijgen went on to study anthropology at the University of Pennsylvania. She wrote books about Native American medicine and traditional beliefs.
In 1931, she started the Tantaquijgen Indian Museum in Connecticut. Today, it is the oldest museum in the country operated by Native Americans. Many school children have learned about Native American history at the museum. Gladys Tataquijan collected the tribal documents that helped the Mohegan regain official recognition from the federal government in 1994. Tataquijan also served as the tribe's medicine woman. She was only the third woman to do so since 1859. Gladys Tataquijan died in November at the age of 106. Leaders from many Native American tribes said she was a great woman who carried out her goal of making sure that the history and culture of the Mohegan tribe survived.
John H. Johnson was born in 1918 to a poor family in the state of Arkansas. He later owned the world's largest black-owned publishing company, and he was one of the richest African-American businessmen in the country. He died in March at the age of 87. People of all races mourned the man who had given African Americans a voice by creating several very successful magazines. John Johnson's mother believed that her son would grow up to be a great man. She moved the family to Chicago, Illinois, so he could get a better education. Johnson attended the University of Chicago and went to work at an insurance company.
In 1942, when he was just 24 years old, Johnson had an idea for a new kind of magazine, the Negro Digest. It would give African Americans news about political, business, and social issues. He used a $500 loan to start the magazine and worked hard to make it popular. Johnson believed that African Americans needed to see positive images of themselves in the American media. He later started two other successful magazines, Ebony and Jet. Johnson published books, owned radio stations, and other companies. He also operated an organization that raised millions of dollars to help African American students attend college. John Johnson believed that his life was proof that hard work could overcome almost any problem and open almost any door.
That was Mrs. Robinson, a song about a character from the popular 1967 movie, The Graduate. Anne Bancroft played Mrs. Robinson, a woman who starts a sexual relationship with a young man. She often said she was surprised that people remembered that one role when she had acted in more than 50 movies and plays. Her Italian immigrant parents named her Anna Maria Luisa Italiano when she was born in the Bronx, New York, in 1931. From an early age, Anna knew that she wanted to become an actress. She studied at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City.
Anne Bancroft went to Hollywood, California in 1950. The head of a movie studio changed her last name to Bancroft. She starred in a series of low-budget movies. She also appeared in plays on Broadway in New York City. One of them was The Miracle Worker. She played the teacher of the famous writer Helen Keller. In 1963, Bancroft won the Academy Award for Best Actress for the film of The Miracle Worker. Anne Bancroft was one of the most honored actresses of her time. She died in June at age 73. The director Mike Nichols praised her intelligence, humor, honesty, and sense.
Writer and historian Shelby Foote wrote a series of best-selling books about the American Civil War. His storytelling skills brought the Civil War to life for millions of readers. He died in June at the age of 88. Foote had mixed feelings about the American South. He was troubled by discrimination against African Americans, but also felt a great loyalty to his Southern ancestry. Shelby Foote was born in Greenville, Mississippi, in 1916. He loved reading and listening to stories about his ancestors who fought in the Civil War. He served in the United States Army and worked as a reporter. Then Foote wrote several fiction novels about American Southern life. In the 1950s, Shelby Foote began writing a three-book history of the Civil War. He wrote quickly, using an old-fashioned pen dipped in ink. It took him 20 years to complete the books. Together, they had more than 1 million words.
Readers loved his way of writing about famous historical American leaders and generals as though they were characters in a novel. He became even better known in 1990 when he appeared in Ken Burns' popular television series about the Civil War. Foote had a strong Southern accent. He told stories about Civil War battles as though he himself had been there. At the end of his life, Foote was one of the most famous historians in the United States. When asked if he liked being famous, Foote answered, "It's fun, but I'm dead set against all the hoorah."
This program was written by Katherine Gibson and Katie Weaver. It was produced by Dana Demange. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.